If you have your Bible this morning, our morning exhortation will be found in Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5, I want to read to you verses 17 to 20. Verse number 17 of chapter 5, the Lord Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." You'll remember in the Sermon on the Mount, in the opening section, verses 1 to 16, the Lord Jesus had been speaking about the nature of true Christianity. In other words, what does it mean to be a genuine believer? And we spent a lot of time talking about that. And now the Lord Jesus moves from that theme to begin discussing His Father's law. And there's four things that I want to talk to you about from this passage. In verse number 17, we see the first truth. And you learn something about Jesus here, and that is that Jesus was no religious renegade that sought to abandon the law, but rather He was a royal son who fulfilled it. Look in verse 17 again. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." You can imagine, as Jesus was entering on the stage and engaging in His public ministry, and turning into a religious leader, you can imagine many of the people that would have been around Him thinking, you know, this is some renegade. What does he think about the law? What does he think about the Old Testament and our scriptures and all the rest? And so Jesus speaks to that issue and talks about the fact that He's not bringing a new doctrine necessarily. He's pulling back and He's teaching truths that have been revealed from the very beginning. And as He speaks about fulfilling the law, obviously when we look at the law, we can think about it morally. The Lord Jesus Christ, being the God-man, came into the world. He is the sinless Son. He never committed any sin. There was no deceit in His mouth. And so Jesus fulfilled the law in that He rendered perfect obedience in thought, word, and deed to the law of God. Furthermore, when you think about the ceremonial aspects of the law, you think of all of the types and all of the symbols and all of the shadows that were there that were intended to train and instruct people, to be a tutor, so to speak, to be a schoolmaster that would continue to point the way to the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all of those redemptive ways of God, all of those types and all of those shadows. All of them found their fulfillment in the Lord Jesus. Also, when you think of the judicial aspects of the law, Jesus bore the punishment for sin, didn't He? The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, ultimately, and it was there where He paid for the penalty of His people's violations of the law. So when Jesus considers the law of God, and as He's teaching the people, He's not some religious rogue. He's coming to the people to say, "No, I have fulfilled the law. I have come not to destroy the law or the prophets, but I have come to fulfill them." In the second place, you learn from this passage of Scripture that Jesus declares the enduring eternal nature of God's law. Look in verse number 18. "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." When you think of the law of God is not a temporary thing, but rather an eternal thing. When you think of the Old Testament contrasted with the New Testament, you need to look back on the Old Testament and see that it is just as authoritative, it is just as inspired, it is just as inerrant as the New Testament. Amen. The Old Testament, we could say, is the gospel in the bud, and the New Testament is the gospel in full flower. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful thought? We don't unhitch from the Old Testament. Amen. We don't disregard the Old Testament. We love the Old Testament Scriptures. And so let's be very, very careful and beware of despising or setting aside any part of the sacred Scriptures.
That's right.
Psalm 119:89. "Forever, O Lord, Your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." In the third place this morning, Jesus teaches that improper interpretation and practice of the word will result in a loss of blessing, and conversely, proper interpretation and practice of the word will result in great blessing. Loss of blessing versus great blessing is what's in view here. "Therefore," Jesus says, "in light of these things, Whoever relaxes or slacks off or disregards one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. In Psalm 119:29, I hope that this would be the prayer that would be our own, the psalmist's prayer. He says, "Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law." We should desire, as we read the Old Testament and the New Testament, to have the proper interpretation of Scripture, to see God's intent, to see what it is that's been revealed, to look at the history, to look at the context, to look at the language in which the Scriptures were written, to come to a true understanding of the Word of God, to disregard God's true intention of the Scriptures, and to teach other people. The Lord Jesus gives us a strong warning about that, doesn't He? He says, don't do that. It's going to rob blessing. And on the other side of that, when we teach and when we practice properly, when we interpret the Word of God and apply it accurately, great blessing is in store for those who sit under that kind of understanding of the Word. You know, it's our desire here at the church, the elders of the Solid Rock Baptist Church, to hold the Bible in the highest esteem and the highest regard. Amen. The Word of God is authoritative. It's His Word. It's sufficient for everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything that you need to live your life in this world is found for you in the pages of this book, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. We don't disregard any of it. We hold it all in high regard. And be very, very careful, brothers and sisters. I know we live in a day of technology. Be very, very careful to others who you listen to that preach the Word of God. You need to make sure that they're teaching true doctrine. And if you're ever in doubt, come and see the shepherds that God has given you to give watch care over your souls.
Yeah, that's right.
We need to be careful about these things. We need to hold the Word of God in high esteem for ourselves and also in our dealings with other people according to the Lord Jesus. The last thing this morning from verse number 20. Jesus teaches us the high demands of God's law and what it takes to make it into the kingdom. Look at verse number 20. This is staggering from Jesus. "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." My friend, that's a tall order right there that was given from the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a high demand for entrance into the kingdom of God. And you say, "Pastor, what is the high demand?" Oh, my friend, the high demand is that you would be perfect in thought, word, and deed. The Lord Jesus said, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven." You know, it's not just external conformity. That's what the scribes and the Pharisees had. I mean, they carried it down to the letter. And that's not what Jesus is merely speaking about. The law of God runs deep. It goes far deeper than the external conformity. Jesus is talking about perfection in the internal affections of the heart, in thought and word and indeed. And maybe you look at that today and you say, "Wow, that's a tall order. Who could possibly do that? Who could possibly keep the law of God in thought, word, and deed?" Nobody.
Amen.
That's the point.
That's right.
The Lord Jesus is showing us the high standard for the purpose of driving us ultimately to that which would be the true solution. You know, we have a twofold problem as sinners in this world, and that is, in the first place, we cannot keep the law of God perfectly.
Right.
From here moving forward, if you even tried to do so, you'll never be able to do it in thought and word and deed. And also, you've royally messed it up already, haven't you?
Right, right.
You just think back in your life and think of all of the violations of the law of God that you have committed. But you know, when we think of the Lord Jesus, He tells us there in verse number 17 that He had came to fulfill the law. And my friend, that's good news today. That's good news. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a twofold problem, but the Lord Jesus offers a twofold solution. Jesus kept the law perfectly for you. There's no possible way that you could do it, but as a substitute, Jesus came into this world and lived under the law of God. The Bible says He was born of a woman, born under the law. And my friend, He had the same law upon Him as a man that you and I have. Don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't murder. And if you have hatred, it's the same as murder. Jesus had to keep the same law in thought and word and deed. And the difference between you and me is that He did it perfectly.
Amen.
He never violated it, not one time. And my friend, that's good news today, because you need a substitute. You need someone who can come in your stead and stand before God as one who is the ultimate law keeper. And that's the Lord Jesus. Furthermore, though, not only did He keep the law in thought, word, and deed, but the glorious news of the gospel and the whole reason that we're here today, unified together, is because the Lord Jesus went to the cross and He paid for our violations of that law. You look back and you think at all the ways in thought, word, and deed that you have violated the standard of God, and then you look to that perfect man, that sinless Savior, that picture of perfection and purity, and He went to the cross, and wicked men cried out, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." And if you had been there on that day, you would have said the same thing. My friend, there is a man who has gone to the tree to bear the violations of our crimes against the law of God. And the message today is that you would thrust yourself upon a willing Savior. The Lord Jesus stands ready today because Jesus died on the cross. But my friend, He didn't stay dead. That's not the end of the story, is it? Jesus died and He was buried. And 3 days later, He got up out of the grave, didn't He? And we don't worship today a dead Savior. We worship a living Savior who is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession this very moment for us. What a glorious thought. And the whole message of the Bible, the whole message of Scripture, is that you would thrust yourself upon a willing Savior, because the Lord Jesus and Him alone is the one who will be your everlasting peace and security and salvation.
Amen.
You may stand this moment condemned by the law, condemned now. Oh, but my friend, if you run to the Lord Jesus, your whole attitude and disposition towards God's standards and His law will change.
Right.
It condemns you now, but if you thrust yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the law then will become a wonderful comfort and grace in your life.
That's right.
I wonder today, do you know this Jesus? Do you know the crucified and risen Savior? Do you know the one who went to the tree to bear your violations of the law of God? Do you know this God-man, the one who came into this world and lived up to the law of God absolutely perfectly? Is that your trust today? Is that your hope today? Perish the thought of trusting in anything else. Put yourself upon the Lord Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we bow before You today, and we thank You for the gift of another Lord's Day. Lord, I think of this day and I think of the freedom that we have, the joy that we have, the ability that we have to come together into this room and to worship You and to think about these wonderful things that have been revealed to us in Your Word. Lord, I thank You today that we have been born into a land of light. Lord, that we have access to Your Word, that we have a tremendous abundance, Lord, of the means of grace that we can make use of. Thank You today for the Lord Jesus Christ and the church. Father, there's great comfort today in knowing that Your heart is for Your people. Lord, Your Word reveals to us that like a father takes pity on his children, You take pity on us. And You know that we are but dust. And Father, we thank You that You pity us and that You know this about us. And even our best of frames before You, even in our best day, Lord, we still stand before You in weakness. You're a faithful and a loving Father, and You pity Your people, and You love us, and You care about us. And we thank You for this. And we thank You, Father, as we've spoken about the Lord Jesus already this morning, we thank You for the relationship that we have with You through adoption, through salvation, that's made this all possible, this experience that we have with You, Lord. We praise You and we thank You for it today. Lord, we have so much peace in the Lord Jesus. Lord, for the believer, for the one here today who could give a testimony of this, they would shout for joy in the peace and in the grace that they have experienced through Your loving kindness. And we just thank You for that today, Lord. You have poured it out abundantly into our souls. And we have so many things to give You praise and honor for, Lord. Lord, words fail us. We don't have the ability really to even express the depth of gratitude that's in our soul for all that You have done. And simple words of thank You, Lord, really don't adequately come up to the measure, to the mark of what we feel on the inside. Lord, it's amazing today to think that the Lord Jesus, that in Him, that we have everything that we need to have Your smile and to have Your favor upon us. Lord, everything that we need in the Lord Jesus to attract your attention to us and your kindness to us, you have shown us such favor. You have accepted us today in your Son. And that is a staggering thought, Father. I pray that you would help us to understand the depth of this. Lord, that we would think deeply about it. And that also, Father, as we think about being accepted by the Lord Jesus, that we would also today think about our sin. We think about what you've saved us from. That we would think about how bad that we were in our sinful and our lost condition. And as we think about that, Lord, that our joy would increase as we gaze at the cross. As we look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, show us our sin today. Show us, but still more today, show us the cross of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Show us the blood that Jesus spilt on our behalf so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be found in Christ one day standing before you, completely blameless and faultless.
Amen.
Not because of our own merits, but because of Christ and what He did. Father, there are those among us today, I'm sure, that don't know you. And Lord, for the one that's here today who doesn't know you, we plead for grace on their behalf. We put their case before you, Lord. We pray today that you would give them saving grace that would lead to joy in their own heart. Because, Father, the alternative to that experience of grace and mercy, if they don't experience it, Lord, it's going to be an experience of despair. Lord, show them that their opportunity is now. That the Redeemer that they can see today, one day, they'll see the Judge. The day of the Judge is coming. The day of the Redeemer is falling by the wayside as the clock ticks down to His second coming. Lord, today there's a cross, and today is there is salvation, but tomorrow there is a throne, and tomorrow there is judgment, and tomorrow there is destruction. And so, Father, I pray today that you would help sinners to see the salvation that is there, that's been bought and paid for in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they would escape that destruction. Lord, show them today, on this Lord's Day, that there is a righteousness that comes by the hearing of faith that overcomes their inability to attain to righteousness by works of the law. Lord, show sinners today that they're completely unable to reconcile their case before you, but you have paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Jesus said from the cross, "It is finished." He paid the debt. He did the work. He accomplished that salvation. And Father, I pray that sinners would turn away from looking at their own righteousness to looking at the righteous provision that has been provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. Show them their need. Show them their sin. Show them their inability. Show them the provision of Jesus Christ and your righteousness in Him. Father, I pray today that none of us here would grieve your Holy Spirit. Father, that we would not be faithless, but we would be believing. Lord, every single person, that sinners would believe about the provision of righteousness, that saved people, Father, would continue to believe, and that you would strengthen their faith, and that you would bring about greater levels of assurance. Give us hearts today that believe you and desire to be obedient to you. Convince us, Lord, of our own folly when we don't do this, Lord, and lead us to trust and lead us to depend upon you with a simple childlike faith. Lord, that's what the Scripture calls us to, is to come to you with the faith of a child. Father, break down today walls of pride. Lord, show people the prideful heart and the evilness of their heart that rejects you and turns from you, Lord. And once again, Father, show them that there is a willing Savior. And that you receive sinners based upon what you have provided in your Son. We pray this today in Christ's precious name. Amen.